This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people. Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best.
Lovely sunny afternoon here on the beautiful Isle of Wight, and as ever, it's the Hospice Show, and we've got Judith with me, we've got Chip.
Hello.
With me, and we're really pleased Chip has become a volunteer at the Hospice, well done.
Yes, thank you.
And we've got Alex Bossman with us as well.
Hello.
And you're new to the Hospice, aren't you, Alex?
I am, this is week five for
week
me.
Week five, my yes. Goodness, how does it feel?
It feels like I've been working there for a long time now. I think the first week seemed very long, getting to meet everybody, find out how the organisation worked, because I hadn't worked in a charity before. So, yeah, that was all new to me.
Now, you're part of the bereavement service, aren't
you? I am, yes.
So are you an islander? Or
I am. I mean, some people may quibble with it, because I wasn't actually born here.
Right.
But I went to school here. I have a lot of friends here and a lot of family here.
I thought you had to live here for three generations before you were called an
islander. Well, actually, there are other generations. I just wasn't born here because my father was in the army. I was born in another country.
All right. We won't call you an overnight.
No, don't dare.
So you've been working with the NHS until now, is that
right? That's right. Yeah, I was in the NHS for 13 and a half years,
wow.
Working in secondary care, mental health services, and then primary care.
Okay, now, bereavement's a bit different then, isn't it?
Yes, it is, in as much as the work with the bereavement service is just about loss.
Yeah.
Through death, whereas in the mental health services we're also working with lots of other conditions, depression,
yeah.
Anxiety,
yeah.
Lots of different things.
Now, I hadn't realised that actually, and I suppose I should have done, that there was a bereavement service at the hospice. I mean,
yes.
It's, just off air a few minutes ago you were telling me about what it does, and it does sound fantastic. And this isn't for patients, I mean this is for relatives,
yes.
Who've lost loved
it
ones.
It is, but we also obviously support patients as well.
Yeah.
So we have different stages. We do pre-bereavement work.
Yes.
Right.
Like, for instance, if someone's just had a diagnosis and all the things they're going to be experiencing, all the impact,
yeah.
Of a diagnosis and all the changes they're,
yeah.
Going to be experiencing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So tell me, I mean, pre-bereavement, mm-hmm. you're sort of talking to the patients themselves.
Yes.
And presumably a lot of them are sort of getting a bit distressed because they're going to have to make planning for their family. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, and I think hospice is about terminal illness and end-of-life care, but
yeah.
It's also about supporting people who've had a diagnosis where they're at stage three, which is 65% on average chance of recovery. So we're across the range. And
wow.
Also
mm.
Other diseases which we call life-limiting.
Yes.
Like
yes.
Motor neurone.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're supporting across the range of illnesses that affect you.
But you did say after somebody has sadly passed away,
mm-hmm.
you could sort of come in, what, about 6 weeks afterwards, something like
yes,
that?
Yes, we normally contact the families 6 weeks after. We will write to them, send them this leaflet, which you can't see, which I'm showing
mm-hmm.
them,
yes.
Discussing our services and what's available.
Yes.
And then we leave it up to them to decide when and how they contact us. Sometimes a telephone call
yes.
to them to discuss what services are available.
Yeah.
And sometimes they say, yes, bring me in as soon as you can, and we start talking.
And you will see the bereaved family in the hospice, will you?
Yes.
Your
yes, we will. That's mainly. But we'll also go out to homes.
Yes.
Obviously,
right.
If you're
that's
working
lovely.
With a terminal patient,
yeah.
and they want to be at home, you'll
yes.
go to their homes. And sometimes through death, people actually lose a lot of confidence.
Yes.
So the spouse left behind will say, actually, I don't want to drive, for instance.
Yes.
So
yes.
We'll do a home visit, that
yes,
sort of thing.
Especially if they're elderly, I guess.
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, one thing I think is great about that is that I think, you know, we've all lost loved ones.
Yes.
And you go through this period where you're very busy with the funeral, then
yes.
You're very, very busy with probate and things
yes.
like that. And then you do feel very, very flat about 6 weeks afterwards. So it's a perfect time, really, for you to get involved, isn't it? Because,
yes.
You know, you can distract yourself through busyness, can't you?
Yes. And I think as humans, we're very good at doing that.
Yeah.
Because actually, it's part of a preservation, really. You get busy, you get energised
mm-hmm.
to get you through the early kind of parts of bereavement, which are normally about feeling shock.
Yes,
and denial.
Yes,
yeah.
I think when, you know, I've lost loved ones, it's after the funeral when
yeah.
you've had the funeral and you've been supported by family and friends
yes.
on that day, and then suddenly they're all going home. and
yeah.
then there you are. left really in. You feel very much alone at that point, I think, and it yes. really begins to hit home then.
Yeah.
I've always found.
There are sort of, is it typically five stages of grief? Which,
yes, and you're going to ask me about them now, aren't you?
No, well, the reason I know about this actually is because people got so angry, or some people got so angry after Brexit, and I'm going to be giving a sort of speech about Brexit soon.
Yes.
But I thought I'd better look up the five stages of grief, because they, bizarrely, you know, when something very unexpected happens, people do go through, I think it's anger, first of all.
It's shock, first of all.
Shock, is it?
Then it's denial.
Yeah.
And then it's anger, and then it's sort of bargaining.
Yes.
We try and come to terms with what's happened and think, well, maybe it's not so bad, perhaps I could do this, or maybe that might happen.
And then finally, find the acceptance, isn't
yes.
it?
Yeah. But you can sort of go in and out of those stages in an hour.
They sort of overlap.
They very much do, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
And does guilt feature in that mix as well, do you think?
I think it can, yes. You know, I think sometimes as you're trying to process what's happened, you might think, I really wish I'd sent that birthday card.
Yes.
Or why did I slam the door?
Yes.
You know, all those kinds of things.
It's all those little things which seem to take on such amplified importance in your mind.
Very much. Mm. Yeah, they do.
Well, stick with us, Alex, because I'd love to ask you some more questions later about the experience you're having with patients and their families. But first, there's Lionel Richie with My Destiny. And then after that, Chips had an interview in the hospice with Grace. And stick with us to listen to that. Oh, those smooth tones of Lionel Richie. Oh, I wish I could sing like him. And that was My Destiny. And I'm here. It's James here with Judith.
Hello.
And Chip and Alex.
Hello.
And, this is the Old Mountbatten Hospice Show. We've just been talking about the bereavement service. But Chip, you had a lovely interview, I think, yesterday.
Yes, I did.
With a lady called Grace, who's a day patient. Shall we listen to that now?
Yeah, let's have a listen to
it. And she was very, very trusting in you, because she said to you, can you choose a piece of music for me, I think?
Yes.
So we've gone for LZ7, which is a Christian band, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Fall at Your Feet, so we'll hear that straight afterwards.
Hello, it's me, Chip, here, and I am with the lovely Grace. How are you doing?
Right, thank you.
So, what's it like coming here?
It's very, very nice, very interesting, and I love talking to everybody.
So, what do you like doing at the hospice?
All right. On a Monday, I come on a Monday, and I make iris folding cards. It's very interesting, very.
So, what's iris folding cards?
You fold, it's waste paper, really. We use envelopes, pretty coloured envelopes. We use the inside of envelopes, and we fold these little pieces of paper, and we make a picture. I've done quite a few. At the moment, I'm doing Christmas cards, but also last week I made a wine glass. I've done a swan. I've done a butterfly, and done lots of things. Yes.
Sounds like you've had some fun making the cards.
Yes, very interesting.
So, how has your condition affected your life?
At the moment, I'm all right. Yes. I've got bone cancer, but I come here on a Monday. Once a month, I have an injection to slow it down.
So, what's it like living with it?
I don't think about it. I just get on with it.
Which is good.
Yes.
You got to live life to the full. It's really good to come here, and it's a really nice atmosphere.
Lovely. Yeah, and the meals are excellent.
Oh, yeah, I love the meals here. They're really good.
Yes.
So, I've been accepted here, and it's a nice, warm and friendly atmosphere.
Yes, it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Thank you for letting me interview you.
Okay, thank you, Drew.
Grace wanted me to choose a song, so here is LZ7, Fall At Your Feet. Turn it up, guys, this is a really good song.
Stay social and get in touch. Add us on Skype. It's vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
I'm still standing. An absolute classic there from Elton John. And you're still with us for the Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show. Judy and I are here with Alex Bossman and Robert Chip Clark.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, Alex, we were talking earlier about the bereavement service. You've only been doing this, I think, for a few weeks now.
I have.
Are you already sort of finding signs of success with the people that you're talking to?
In terms of success, I imagine that that's lots of different things depending on the person that you're talking to.
Yeah.
Some people need more kind of support than others. And
yeah.
I think success is really measured in someone probably saying to you, I hadn't thought of that, or I think I can manage alone now, or I'm glad I've had that conversation,
yeah,
or I just feel better for having said those things.
Mm-hmm. It must be incredibly rewarding.
Yes.
I mean, a very hard job, I imagine, but incredibly rewarding too.
Yes. Mm. I mean, I've been in the helping profession for 30 years
yeah.
at different times. So, yes, it's what I like. I like to build relationships with people and hear how they're seeing things and help them think or feel about it in a different way.
Is time the greatest healer? Is that right? Or do you think it's sort of more about getting out your feelings?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because I think both things are true. I think initially it helps to release, because I think when we've got a lot of strong feelings, they kind of build up in your
yes.
body, so you're
yes.
just going, oh, I've just got to get it off my
yes.
chest.
Yeah.
And then I think in time things settle down, because I'm sure you've had conversations with people where they've talked about an event that was really significant, like
yes.
25 years ago,
yes.
and the feelings are still fresh, because they
yeah.
all sort of live inside us alongside
yeah.
each other. You know, there's
yeah.
no time sort of demarcation inside.
Yeah.
So yes, both things are true.
Do you find a difference between men and women? Because I always imagine that sort of men try to suppress the emotions and sort of
I don't know if you want me to answer.
Yes, please. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. No, I don't.
Really?
I think it's quite natural in our human state to, in a way, imagine that if we express how we feel, that it's a sign of weakness. Because, you know, if we think about how we used to live in tribes, if you were worried that there was anything wrong with you, either
yeah.
physically or emotionally, and you were weak, you'd worry that you'd be left behind or that you'd, you know, threaten other people. So I think it's quite natural for us to want to hide these things,
yes.
yeah.
men or women.
Yeah.
But you're such a warm, approachable person, Alex.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody would find it so easy to open up to you.
Yes,
really.
On buses.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it is a gift.
It's funny, I think you and Judy to have this gift. I think there's some people with very open faces who, you know, suddenly have people tell them their whole life stories.
Yes.
Judy has this all the time, don't you?
Well, yeah, people do come, complete strangers, do
yes.
come up to me in the street
yes.
and start telling me their problems. And yeah, you know, it's quite, you know, it's quite difficult in a way.
I've never ever had that happen to me.
No, well,
I think as a sort of former investment banker, I've got this kind of off-putting face that tells them that they're going to have trouble if they.
But Alex, you're so clearly in the right job and one you love.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a weird. I suppose it's a bit of a weird job in a way because of the subject matter that you're dealing with.
Yes, and do you have support yourself? Because you're
yes.
dealing with people who are clearly going through a very
yeah.
anxious, sad
yes.
time. And is there someone you can turn to help support
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Mm. I mean, how we are trained is that we have supervision.
Mm-hmm.
And someone once described that to me as pyramid selling. Behind the person sitting with you is a person, you know, sitting behind
yes.
them. So you're sharing all the time
yes.
and reflecting on what's
yes.
happened and what's been said
yeah.
and how it might be different next time
yes.
or what you said or the impact on you. Because everyone, I imagine, going into hospice work has a story.
Yes.
We've just got time for one more question.
Okay.
And I think this is for listeners at home as well.
Right.
Which is, how do people get in touch with you? And do they need to be, you know,
okay.
part of the hospice or
really good,
you know, can they have nothing to do with the hospice?
They can have nothing to do with the hospice. I think the hospice is part of the community and it's open to the community. Obviously, the psychological services are for someone who's been bereaved.
Yeah.
And they don't have to have had necessarily care with Earl Mountbatten Hospice.
That's fabulous.
And also the number to call
okay.
is 533-776 initially for an inquiry. If
533-776.
Yes, if you feel that you may need support with a recent bereavement.
Fabulous. Well, Alex, it's been wonderful having you in the studio. Do come back. We're going to listen to the Ramones now and Baby I Love You, and then after that, Chip's got another interview. Thank you very much indeed, Alex.
Okay, it was a pleasure.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Alex. Bye-bye.
And Baby I Love You. And do you know what? It's about that time of the afternoon when I'm starting to sort of seize up in my shoulders. And unfortunately, here at Vectis Radio, we don't have an on-site masseurs, do we, Judy?
Not yet. Macca's working on it.
I understand, Chip, at the hospice, there is actually a massage service available to patients.
There is.
Good. And you actually managed to interview Ginny, who is a masseuse at the hospice, is that right?
Yeah, she is, yeah.
Well, let's listen to this, and we'll be back after the advert break.
Hi, it's me, Chip, here, and I'm with Ginny, and Ginny does complementary therapy. How are you doing, Ginny?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. So, what is complementary therapy?
Well, it's complementary to whatever treatment anyone might be having in the hospice or anywhere else for that matter. So it works alongside medical treatment, so it's not a substitute for it. And it's usually to help people relax and relieve stress and also help with muscular tension and things like that with a massage, and generally helping people to sort of relax and deal with things emotionally as well if they're suffering from any particular condition.
So what's it like working here?
It's interesting. It's you know, you meet different people with different problems, and it's interesting. Yeah, I enjoy it.
You give massages. What's it like giving the massages?
I find it quite relaxing. It does depend on how relaxed the client is as well, but I enjoy giving massage because you know you're helping somebody else and that you're relieving some of their stress and tension and helping with muscular aches and pains too.
I like a good massage. Can I have a massage?
Not sure at the moment. I might be a bit busy.
Okay. Maybe in a couple of weeks' time.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
I love massaging, and my mum gives good massages.
Is she?
Yeah.
Is she qualified, or is it just experience?
Experience, probably, I think. I'll have to ask her.
Some people are natural, but other people need a bit more training, yeah.
Can anyone come up to you and have massages?
Yes, generally. I mean, we treat carers here. We also treat, obviously, people suffering from different conditions. So it's a variety of people we treat here, yeah.
How about people in the community?
No, you can't come up from the community just to have a massage here. It's purely for people that are using the hospice on a regular basis, whether they're suffering from cancer or whatever condition, and also their families, to help their families. It's to do with supporting their care here.
Okay, thank you for letting me interview you, Jenny.
You're welcome. Nice to talk to you.
So, what song would you like me to play on the radio for you?
Morning Has Broken.
Okay, here's Morning Has Broken for you guys. Here's the song.
This is Vectis Radio, putting the community back into local radio.
CC Smugglers. And Rhythm, of course. We've been having dancing in the studio here at Vectis Radio through the show, can you believe that? But now, we have just got a little bit of time to let you know about something that's coming up in the very near future. It's Jazzy Heath, who's going to be at the John Cheverton Centre. It's actually going to be on Thursday, the 1st of September, so the start of autumn, can you believe it?
Mm.
With this lovely weather out there. Jazzy's been performing at all sorts of venues across the Isle of Wight, and she's been the best of all in the past, and she's also been at the V-Dub Festival. Tomorrow night, Thursday, she's going to be at the Old Man Batten Hospice. She's going to be playing from 7:30 to 9:30 as part of their concert series, which is absolutely wonderful. Tickets are just £10. There are these concerts every month, I think, Judy.
Yes, normally on the first Thursday of every month as a fixture, and I think they have some concerts in between as well. You mentioned that the tickets were £10, James. Well, I should just say that that includes wine and the most amazing canapés made by the hospice's very own chef, the lovely Gary. Yeah. So fantastic value.
Yeah, and if you want a ticket, there's still some available. Just email Tina Groves, and that's Tina, T-I-N-A, groves@iwhospice.org. We'll be back next time. It's been wonderful being with you. Cheerio from Chip.
Cheerio.
Thanks for your company, everyone. Bye-bye.
And from me, James and Judith. Take care. Bye.
the Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best.
www.vectisradio.com.